taught not only in the biblical, in Asia, here in China, here in Discovery Bay. If we were to look at our families, do we see the kingdom of God working in our families and in our neighborhoods? You know, when Jesus was beginning his ministry years and he was going down to Galilee, you know, he said, the kingdom of God is near, repent and receive the good news. And later on, as his earthly ministry continued to unfold and he was going down to Jerusalem with his disciples to the ultimate culmination of his ministry, and that is to take his place up on the cross, you began to see Jesus speak more and more about the impending kingdom of God, or what Luke, the Gospel of Luke, calls the kingdom of heaven. I think that's the only gospel that refers to the kingdom of heaven, but it's talking about the same thing. And so when you're talking about a kingdom of God and a kingdom of heaven, you know that there must be other types of kingdoms. And when you talk about kingdoms, there's kingdoms of men. And if you look at kingdoms of men, whether historically or kingdoms of men today, there's always one thing in common, and that is there has to be some form of human manipulation or something that man must do in order to enable these kingdoms to stand. And I'll try to help illustrate this. Two Saturdays ago, we had our men's discipleship group, and as I was leaving the plaza, walking back to my place over in Siena 2, I noticed that as I was walking along the beach on the right side, they were blowing up this huge blue structure. Maybe some of you know what I was talking about. It's made of the same material that the kids like to use for their bouncy castles. They put in an air blower, and it blew it up. And I was thinking, unless somebody actually takes that air machine and blows it up, there's no rigidity. There's no structure. This thing would fall flat on the sand. Somebody has to intervene somewhere. Similarly, if, as you know, in times of typhoon, one thing Hong Kong Resorts is very, very good at, and that's preparing for possible damage from typhoon. And at my flat and other places in the plaza, before a typhoon, you see these big X's of tape, and they try to add strength to the window panes, just in case the wind blows so hard, these windows begin to shake, and they're trying to reinforce these windows and trying to give it rigidity. Trees, you see trees somewhere in the plaza or maybe along the roadside, they have rope and wire tied to the trunk, put stakes into the ground, again, to try and reinforce the trees so that they will stand. When I was a lawyer, I remember on Secretary's Day, you had to send flowers to your secretaries, and I believe that the secretaries secretly had a competition amongst themselves to see who received the most flowers or who received the best-looking bouquet. But if you went to a good florist and you sent the long-stem roses, the florist would actually take a piece of wire and they would stick it up from the bottom of the stem until it comes out to the top, and then they would wrap it around the top. And that little piece of wire would help reinforce the weakest part of the rose so that it won't fall over. And just like that, in kingdoms, in churches, in religions, people recognize that they do not have the inherent structure to uphold themselves, and they must use different things in order to prop it up. They can use force, they can use things like money, they can use politics, some form of human manipulation. Now, I'll just give you a few examples. I'll run through these rather quickly. If you look at the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, probably the closest ally the United States has in the Middle East. But kingdom of Saudi Arabia is actually one of the most religiously restrictive countries. They are an Islamic state. They are home to some of the most radical ways of Islamic thinking. And Saudi Arabia, they have a population of approximately 30 million people, but approximately 30% of those 30 million are foreign workers. And of those 30%, approximately 2 million will tell you that they are non-Muslim. About 1.5 million are Christians, in fact. And despite great risk to many of them, a lot of Saudis are turning to Christianity. But despite all that, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia uses a force to ensure that there is no belief that would mess with their Islamic belief. There is not one official church that you can go worship at in Saudi Arabia. In fact, they have a religious police force of 4,000 people, and they go around Saudi Arabia looking for any activity that they would deem un-Islamic. And if they found any, they would arrest you for apostasy, for blasphemy. So they use force to ensure the strength of their community. One that is frequently in the news today is North Korea. Yeah, they try to give the appearance of being militarily sound to enhance their posture in the international community. But in 1948, when the grandfather of the current leader came in and the communist regime overtook Korea, he wanted to wipe out all religions. He wanted to use military force to force Christianity and other religions out of there. At the time, they said that there are approximately 400,000 Christians. Most of them were driven to the south. Many were martyred. A lot of them went underground. But again, there's military intervention. There's human intervention to ensure that their community, that their kingdom stands. ISIS is another one. If you don't agree with their beliefs, they will take their enemies and do really atrocious things to them. But it's not always force. Kingdom of Thailand, that's one of my favorite places to go on vacation. How many of you saw the recent cremation ceremony? Is it a ceremony? The cremation ceremony of their late king. It just happened last month. The king, he actually passed away for over a year. But they had this five-day ceremony at the Grand Temple. And on the fifth day, they burned the pyre where allegedly his ashes or his remains were. And that ceremony was beautiful. It was such a spectacle. Thais were glued to their television sets. It was absolutely flawless. There was no mistakes. You know, New York Times estimated that the Kingdom of Thailand spent a lot of money to ensure that this handover from the late king to the new prince would go smoothly. In fact, they estimate they spent $90 million. Imagine that, $90 million, and the king didn't even get a chance to enjoy any of it. But what does that tell us about us? It also tells us that we ourselves are drawn to the things that are majestic. We are drawn to the things that are divine, right? Romans, it says that, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen. We have this innate desire to be with what is divine. We have this innate desire to go out and worship. And if that desire is misplaced and it is not focused on God, we will find other things to place our worship. It could be a king. It could be a late king. You know, they said it was such a historic event that over 12 million people personally went to visit the remains of